to that.
Exactly, exactly. You are free to answer or not answer anything you want. Now, I understand that they had fairly large families,
now,
most of them.
This is on.
This is on.
Okay.
They had fairly large families, am I right?
In the early days, yes.
That's right.
Large now.
No.
Much smaller families now.
Right. But with those children, was there a good survival rate?
In the early days, we lost babies. But we started a public health nursing course. We also started the state provided us with a public clinic, children's clinic, baby clinic.
About when was this?
Wrote some articles out. Let's think for a second or two. I came in 34. I would say in the late 30s.
In the late 30s.
37, 38, sometime.
Well, I know that that made a tremendous impact.
That was a real beginning of the change of.
Well, before they had that, how did they care for their children?
With all the tender love that a home can give.
Great.
And with the mother just loving a child through sickness and through accidents.
Yes. Were the babies brought into the world by midwives?
Midwives, or by just being delivered in the home, period.
Oh. Were there any...
There was
that
an
was rough.
Old doctor that lived in Stanley, a Dr. Smith, who came from time to time, but it was very hard to get a doctor to come up here.
Well, I can understand that. I imagine they didn't have too much money to pay him.
No, but Dr. Smith was even would come without paying sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors in Luray were wonderful to me when I came in. And they would tell me on the phone what I could do. And then I would do to the utmost of my ability. And then I would call them back in time and say this worked or that didn't work or something else. What else can I do? And they would try to tell me further what could be done.
And well, then in other words, the people realized that they did not truly know how to take care of their babies and children.
Well, they were glad to get help for it. I wouldn't say they would acknowledge they didn't know because they had lived many years and years and years and generations without somebody.
Yes.
So, of course, they did have an instinct, just natural instinct of love and devotion and concern and did the utmost for them.
Were there any particular childhood illnesses that you recall?
Well, of course, diphtheria was still prevalent, typhoid fever occasionally, measles, mumps, chickenpox, all of the regular children's diseases.
It's a surprise that those came in when the people were really so isolated.
Well, they were isolated, and yet, of course, from time to time, somebody went to town on horseback.
Yes.
To get other things that they didn't have.
And would bring it back with them.
Back more than likely. And then from time to time, as this article tells you, there were itinerant preachers who came up and held services under the pine trees here. This is why it's called Pine Grove, Holler, because there was a whole grove of pines up in this area. And they used to have outdoor services under the pines.
Mm-hmm.
And they would put stumps of logs down and put boards across for pews. And that's where the first services were held, was under the pine trees.
You know, this is getting ahead of one of the questions I wanted to ask. But now, when this itinerant preacher came, would they then hold a whole group of weddings, for instance?
Well,
Or baptisms?
eventually they began to baptize, but not babies so much as adults.
Mm-hmm.
And they would baptize in the creek across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And their weddings were, of course, performed, but not too many.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, do you know of any particular herbs or medicines or poultices that they used?
Well, I'm sure they used everything that they knew in the woods, because they still do a great deal of going into the woods. Some of the people allow it to gather the wild lettuce and things of that kind. Of
thing. Wild lettuce?
Mm-hmm.
They would just use that for eating.
Eat.
Mm-hmm.
And they would use, of course, the herbs that they knew.
What herbs were they? Do you recall? No.
Mm-hmm. Because I never used them.
No.
After I came, I had a medicine chest in the rock house, and I did a great deal of the first aid and the general nursing American care.
Mm-hmm.
And it got beyond my ability, then I'd call one of the doctors and ask what I could do. And
I'm surprised.
I would carry out his orders, and then if that didn't work, I would either take them in, or if they were too sick, I could get somebody to come.
Isn't it a surprise that the people accepted that and didn't say to you, well, I've got a poultice that would do just as good?
Well, of course, sometimes I used theirs instead of mine.
Uh-huh.
Because after all, theirs had worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all right.
Do you recall any of those?
No, that's been many, many long years ago since I've done any of that part of the work.
Were most of the houses, when you first came, built of logs?
No, there were only one or two real log houses here.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them had been built frame, small frame houses.
Well, didn't the people from the mountains come down here to you?
Not after they had a work up on top. You see, they had a work up there.
With Pollock?
Miss Janet Walton was up there, but before her, Miss Hale was here, and she was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a great deal of medical work up in these mountains.
I see.
And then she went up on Tanner's Ridge to live. And when she went up on Tanner's Ridge to live, other workers came here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just going on from here on out.
Okay. Do you know how they cooked? Did they make their own butter, and did they have outdoor brick ovens?
They churned. Not too many of them in the days since we've been here had outdoor ovens.
Uh-huh.
I imagine in the real early days than they have.
Uh-huh.
But they cooked on regular wood stoves.
Yes.
They had keen heaters to heat their homes. Just as I had over that rock house, I had seven of those keen heaters, and if you wanted a warm house, you had to keep going from room to room stoking the keen heaters.
That's spelled K-E-A-N?
Keen, K-E-E-N. Keen heaters. They're little tin stoves that you take the lid off and put a piece of wood in.
Uh-huh. Did they make sorghum?
They made sorghum, and they made their own breads, of course. And they farmed little farm patches, not really farms, but just little spots of corn and vegetables, and mostly potatoes and beans.
Mm-hmm.
But they
just
had
enough.
Their own hogs. You know.
Oh, good.
That's a really good hogs. Most of the
cows.
A few had cows.
Those that did not have cows, how did the babies get milk?
Nursing. The mamas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then from then on, no milk.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. Were there any cases of rickets that you know of?
Very few.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely few.
Mm-hmm.
A few, but not too many.
Yeah. That's good.
They were a healthy stock.
Yes, they were.
They were good stock.
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you hear any stories from any of them, how they arrived here?
Of course, the story is that they came from, when Spotswood came over the Spotswood Trail down and looked into the valley, that from then on people began to come across the hill into the valley. There are also other stories told that people came up the valley from Roanoke way up this way and from Alexandria way down to the valley because of its beauty and of its loveliness and its richness of soil and atmosphere and all. So it got populated in the valley, and then the people pressing on from the valley up this way to go over the mountain, but they would get up into these communities, these little hollows, and just settle there.
What were the predominant names?
Well, now up here, the names are Wigfit, Gray, Jenkins, Lambs, Barrackers.
Now that's the only German one so far.
Pettits.
That would be French, wouldn't it?
P-E-T-T-I-T.
Yeah.
Pettits. That's a good.
The rest of the Wigfit, Gray, Jenkins, and Lamb are English.
English.
And the Barrackers are the German, and the Pettits is the French. Fascinating. Did they do a lot of visiting back and forth back in the mountains?
Among themselves, you mean here in one community? Yes. In fact, everybody, the minute anybody had a sickness or a sorrow or anything, everybody else took something to them and stayed and sat up at nights with them and mourned with them and loved them.
Oh, that's
it is a beautiful spirit.
Yes.
It doesn't make any difference what happens. Everybody will come to you.
Yeah.
If I should call in the middle of the night for help, I'd get it.
Right. They'd come breaking down your door.
They'd come to see what had happened.
Did they get together evenings and sing?
Yeah, they had sewing bees and quilting parties.
Sewing and quilting, yes.
And they did sing because they had quite a little, well, after the mission workers came, they had quite a little band up there. And are very musical. The people themselves are musical.
Many of them play
by ear.
Yeah.
The young man who plays the organ plays by ear, but he plays beautifully. Just beautiful. And now we have quite a swanky organ, and boy, you can make that organ ring.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did they mainly, though, before they started singing here, had guitars and
banjos?
No, dulcimers.
Violins and dulcimers.
They did have dulcimers. They did. That's the first we have heard of dulcimers. We thought that they were mainly down in North Carolina, but there were dulcimers
here.
There
was one or two up here.
Great.
In the early days, I don't think there's one up here now.
No, but I mean, back then.
Way back.
But, whoa, wait till they hear that. Wait till they hear that. Juzar. Did they play the Juzar?
You mean a harmonica?
I think it was a sort of a twangy thing.
Oh, the twangy thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They played harmonicas.
They did. Aside from the hymns, what were their favorite songs?
Well, and of course, they had a lot of local songs.
Have you any names?
No names.
Turkey in the Straw?
I was going to say the regular one, coming around the mountain, Turkey in the Straw. And
Golden Slippers.
Oh, yeah. But they had the usual names.
Did you ever hear a song had no words to it called the fox hunt?
Don't think so.
I am on the trail of that
fox hunt. Well, I'll have to ask Shirley.
When the tape is off and we're not wasting time, remind me to tell you about that because it's absolutely marvelous. Now, I was wondering about their courtships. Did they, do you think, I know that from what I have heard, nobody got married without coming and talking to you first.
Well, most of them did.
Right. do you think that they were real love matches, or do you think it was because she could cook pretty good and she thought, well, he's a good provider and I've got to get a husband, so they got together?
No, I think they have real sincere love in the family.
Uh-huh. Good to know.
Real sincere love.
Did they court much?
There are very few broken families. There's some, but not many.
Yeah. Did the fellows do a lot of courting, or?
You mean many?
No, if they zeroed in on a girl, would he court her pretty much?
I'm sure he would.
Mm-hmm. What were the weddings like?
Well, now the only weddings that I know, of course, are the weddings that were in the church or in their own homes.
Did they get all dressed up and white the way nowadays, or did they just put on their best dress and best suit?
Well, I'm sure in the early days they did.
Yes.
But since the church has been here, and they've had weddings in the church, we've had some lovely weddings in the church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. White veils and everything.
Oh, great. Yeah.
But I'm sure in the early days they seemed to marry in the local home or at the minister's. They'd go out to a minister from the Hagerstown lots of times because they could always get a minister to marry them there.
Oh, yes.
And several of the men up here were railroad men. As strange as that may seem, but the Norfolk and Western ran through Stanley.
Yeah.
Several of the men up here were railroad men.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't home that much then, were they?
Well, not those.
Yeah, yeah. Took their wives then to take care of the gardens and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how before the mission was here, how they used...
No, the mission's been here since 1909.
Oh.
The church has been here. The first ministers came up here in 1900. Itinerant preachers that came first, who just came in and preached and baptized and performed weddings and buried the dead, but no one ever came to stay. And then the first ministers that came up here were Reverend Walter Strickler of the Brethren Church and Reverend B.B. White of the Methodist Church, came up in the early years of 1904 and 5. And held preaching services. And then Reverend Mr. Taylor and Mr. Herb Key have taught Sunday school, but there was no permanent establishment until the work here in Pine Grove and Mr. The Reverend Josiah Ellis came in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
The old church was built in 1909. And from then on, there has been a mission, not the mission house, but the work has gone on.
Well, how did they do their funerals?
Well, when I first came here, it was quite a prolonged wailing service.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful, sacred service, quiet night.
Did they, I have heard some stories that they used to, the women would bathe the body and put it near a window and then leave you know, then in a couple of days after people had come and viewed him, and they would dig the hole and have a coffin made and put him into it. Now, is that the way you have heard it, or?
In the early days, of course, we did not have a funeral director or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we buried our own dead.
Mm-hmm.
I have washed many a body myself and prepared them for burial.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the people themselves made many of the caskets in the early days.
Did they use real headstones with inscriptions on it?
Not such as you'd find in a cemetery outside, but they marked it, yes.
They did. That's good.
There are many, many markings on stones that are very ancient stones.
Markings in, of what kind? The
I
dates?
I presume chiseling.
Dates
names
and names. Mm-hmm. So they could write.
So,
yeah.
But they have been an extremely fine people all the way through.
Oh, they.
They are noble people.
They're highly intelligent people.
Extremely.
And, I think one of the most honorable of all people.
I think so myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wish the rest of the world were like them.
I agree 100%. And let's hope the rest of the world doesn't come in here and start corrupting them. When they came to visit you, which I'm sure they did because I'm going to hate leaving you. Did they ever tell many ghost stories or things of that kind?
Not ghost stories so much as early things that happened in the early days. I mean, with their own family experiences, but nothing in the way of ghost stories.
Can you remember any of those stories?
Well, they were personal stories.
Oh, all right, yeah. Okay. I had quite a problem talking with one man one day because I was asking him if his family believed in ghosts and haunts. He couldn't get the word haunts. He didn't know what I was talking about. And finally he said, "You mean haunts?" And once we hit on that, we were all right. What were their special holidays? Did they celebrate the 4th of July?
Well, of course, Christmas was...
Christmas is the best.
Great days. And children's birthdays were always special.
Oh!
They always did something special in the family for their own families, their own days.
Yeah.
And 4th of July, of course, they knew about it, but until the mission came, and we used to have 4th of July parties.
Yeah.
And we had fireworks and
mm-hmm.
all the trimmings.
Yeah.
And we used to have the soup.
On
regular,
a hot day.
Regular old Brundage stew soup.
Good.
But it was the best soup that anybody ever had in all the world.
You are right, yeah.
And we used to have a sale on that day. Sell all kinds of handmade articles and things of that kind.
This helped the people.
We sold lemonade, and we sold homemade ice cream and Brundage stew and sandwiches.
Will you mind doing it again next year so I can come?
We had one on the 9th of July. I'll have to put you on my list for calling up and telling you when we're going to have another one.
Oh, please do, because I would love it.
I have two or three people in Luray that I call up. Judge Woodward is one. He always wants to come.
The children's birthdays, how did they celebrate those? Did they give them gifts? They didn't have much money.
They generally baked a cake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had something special that that child liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes much more mm-hmm. sense than giving mm-hmm. lots of presents mm-hmm. that the child can't really
I think so, appreciate. Too.
Yeah.
Because, now that they have more money, of course, they get gifts and things.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them even go overboard and get too expensive of gifts. And the child uses it for a little while and forgets it.
Mm-hmm. Christmas. How did they celebrate
Christmas?
Christmas
is a holy day.
They really considered it holy. Very
Christmas
fun.
Christmas is a holy day. And it is celebrated with gifts and with church. And it really is more a holy day than a holiday.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's the way it should be.
It's the way it should be, of course. Mm-hmm. There are lots of innovations now. And the world is creeping in, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's...
There are many in the community who live near the church but don't come.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if we ever do anything, like building the parish hall or digging a ditch or anything, everybody will come and give us their work.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you have told us some things that we did not know. This is simply great. You told about the crops that they raised and the animals. Did they do much hunting, do you know?
Oh, yes. They've always hunted.
Was there anything much left to hunt?
They had to hunt for food in the early days. They hunted pheasants, they hunted birds, they hunted squirrels, they hunted possums, they hunted groundhogs.
Oh yes, of course there were groundhogs, mm-hmm. Yes, that was having... Mm. Raccoons, were there raccoons around
a
then?
A few, yes.
Not many.
Mm-hmm. We still have quite a few things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were here when the resettlement took place.
But it didn't touch us. The only thing that it touched was two people at the very top of the community. And they were very elderly people. And Bishop Mason, who was then Archdeacon Mason, went to Washington and got permission for those two people to live in their little homes up in the top of the community and never to know that the park took the land. The land was owned by a wealthy farmer outside, and so they had no reason for knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That it was incorporated into the park area.
And they lived their lives.
They lived there until they went, without ever being disturbed.
Great. I had heard there were some families that was done to.
But there are other families over in the outer section that were moved out whole lock, stock, and barrel.
Yes.
But Bishop Mason said that nothing like that was going to happen to our community.
Did you hear any stories of how they adjusted?
Miserably.
It must have been terrible, because one type of life and then suddenly thrust into another.
They used their bathtubs for feed bins, and it just didn't mean anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very unhappy, extremely unhappy.
Yeah.
And I think most of them had little by little moved away and are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was a great thing.
In a way, don't you think it was a help for them, though?
I think it would have been more of a help if they had let the church grow to the extent of being able to go into the other communities.
Yes, because as it was, they did not have an education. What they got was very skimpy. They had really no way of making a living anymore.
Sometimes you don't have to have all of the things you think you have to live.
Right.
And they lived happily.
Yes.
And it's much better to live happily with less than to live racing and rushing to get a whole lot.
You're right, yes.
When I went into the Peters first went into Basin and Cubbage and Keystone area. And when they left, then I went up in there in the afternoons on Sunday when they held services. and then I would run back and forth over into those communities during the week to see about the people and to visit the sick and the elderly and to carry things to them that they needed.
Oh, they must have been so grateful to see you coming. How did you get there? By car?
I had a young lady that lived with me at Rocco's who was a mountain girl who had come to work at the mission at a very early age of 11 when she used to stop from school and wash the dishes for the teachers and the workers there. And she lived with me after that for 23 years.
Uh-huh.
And she would drive, she would learn to drive, and we'd go where no car was ever meant to be put.
There are no roads.
We put it. But we went all through those areas for the people that needed. I have been up and down these hills in every conceivable contraption. I have been carried up to some areas on a stretcher. I have gone to other areas in a jeep. I have been every way that anything could possibly be put in order to get to them.
Get to the people. It is small wonder that they came to you with all their problems.
Well, I have loved them, honey.
That's right.
I have loved them.
And we're not going to go into any names, but if you could tell us just what some of their problems were. Were they marital problems, or were they...
Occasionally. Not too often.
No.
Because homes are very sacred here. And most of the time it has been beautiful.
Yeah.
But the heartaches, sorrows, accidents, distresses, would have been...
Yeah. What were the most frequent accidents that they had?
Burns. Cuts.
Snake bite?
A few, not too many. I've had several, but not the tremendous numbers that we might have had, considering how many snakes we have. Because, of course, we do have rattlesnakes and copperheads and moccasins and coral snakes and all kinds of...
I think it's sweet that when they have a heartache, they'd come to you.
Well, we have a lot of heartaches like everybody else does.
And if you don't have
a big shoulder to cry on.
If you don't have a sounding board, you fall apart.
Well, that's why we really have been able to stick together a lot of times.
Yes.
So that they could get it off.
Yeah, right.
And I'd hear one side, and then I'd hear the other side, and neither side knew that the other side had been yet.
Did they ever worry about their children, that maybe their child was a bit obstreperous, that he didn't want to follow orders, that he didn't want to work the garden?
Well, children are children.
Right.
They naturally don't always do the things you want them to do.
And they recognize that.
We haven't had too many that have gone far enough to be into any great trouble. And I had the sheriff tell me once that after the church came here, that as far as his office was concerned, that there wouldn't be any sheriff up here. Before the church came up here, that he ran up here all the time. But after the church came and settled here in this community, that his duties were lessened to almost nothing.
Well, there was a lot of bootlegging up here before then.
And
when people get drunk, they do things they shouldn't do.
That's true.
But
after the church came, it completely changed the whole atmosphere of this community. That doesn't mean that everybody in the community belongs into the church. Great numbers of them have been baptized. Great numbers of them have been confirmed in the Episcopal Church. But a lot of them don't come. There's a lot of work still to be done.
The mellowing influence.
The Christian spirit is prevalent.
Right. Well, you just talk because you're the one that has been living here and that has heard the stories from the people and know what you want to tell that will help us make this the true story of the people.
Well, I think one of the loveliest things that happened after I fell and was confined to the chair, I was sent to the Georgia Warm Springs Foundation by the Polio March of Dimes here in Page County, hopefully that I would be able to get back up on my feet. When that was not possible, then I began to wonder what I could do I felt like it wasn't fair for me to come back to Rockhouse, the mission home, because I wanted them to have somebody there that could go out to them, and I couldn't anymore. So I resigned, and then I began to look around for something else to do. And just at that time, the University of Virginia Hospital was looking for an assistant chaplain, and I became the assistant chaplain. And I served there for 8.5 years. Went all over the hospital, all hours of the day and night in a motorized chair. Mm-hmm. I couldn't possibly have pushed it. Mm-hmm. But even with the motorized chair, which was very slow, when the orderlies would see me, they would say, "Pull the motor off, Deaconess, I'll run with you." And they would come and run if it was an emergency.
Yeah.
Or if they called me for an emergency, I would say, "Send me either the night watchman or a policeman or an orderly mm-hmm. or somebody that can get me there mm-hmm. quicker."
Mm-hmm. Then how did you get back here?
Well, that was one of the beautiful things I was going to tell you. The young man that, the man and his wife and family that lived just above me here, in the house above me, knew my love for here and that someday I wanted to come back. On Mother's Day, he and his wife came over to Charlottesville and brought me the deed to this little piece of land because he said he wanted to be sure that I had a place to come back to. And I was going to build a little home here. And we had already dug the foundation. The people had dug the foundation for me, and we had laid the cornerstones. We had laid the foundation cement. And then my mother was stricken with several strokes, and I had to come back quicker. So I ordered a mobile home, mm-hmm. and the middle part of this house is the mobile home.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as it was placed, then I brought her here to take care of her here, because I knew this was the one spot in all the world that I could get help
mm-hmm.
to take care of her. And I brought her here. And she lived here for 18 months before her death.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the community were marvelous to me in helping me to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
I would get a help from Lou Ray. I got a practical nurse from Lou Ray. He would come for 8-hour shift, but then I had the 16 hours. And they would always come to help me whenever I would call. They would come in and sit for 2 or 3 hours and say, "My dear, you lie down and rest, and we'll stay right here until you awake." And they would stay for me until I could rest, and then they would go home to do their chores. So she lived here with me through those last months.
Marvelous. They are wonderful people. Now, about their schools. Have you any idea what the schooling for the people that were in the mountains was? Did they come down here to school?
Not the ones that were on Tanner's Ridge, because as soon as Miss Hale went up there, there was a school, a log house built up there for school.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a teacher up there with her who taught. Before that time, some of the minister and some of the local men here would go walk up Franck's Path and have church up there for them on Sundays. But there was no schooling until the worker went up there. And the school was established up there. Here, there was
a... Then did they self-teach themselves? You go ahead. About schools, weren't we? And the fact that the majority of them had not really, until...
In the early yes. days, they had not had a formal, what we call a formal education.
Yes. Do you think that they taught their in within their own families so they
sure.
could read and write?
I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
As far as they were able, I mean,
yes.
and after all, they didn't have it so much.
Yeah.
But there was a little log school right across the road here, across on the other side of the creek. That was built of logs in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And then they built a schoolhouse down the road about 2 miles, a two-room school. And the children went there for a number of years. And then the bus began to come up.
Oh, yes.
And took the children to Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they began getting
began to go out
more.
Now the children go all the way to the Page County High School.
Yes.
Between Shenandoah and
Stanley. You know, I was just thinking it would be hard, I imagine, to have done the self-teaching after working hard, as they did, all day, and with insufficient lighting at night.
Oil lamps, don't
Yes. They didn't particularly feel like sitting down and teaching a child ABCs, did they?
Well, I wouldn't think so, but...
Mm.
I expect they gave them everything they could of whatever they had.
Yes.
Because they did give themselves to those children.
Mm-hmm. I imagine if anything happened to a child, tragedy was awful, wasn't it?
Well, it is because they are so closely knit. They're tremendously close.
Did they really have around 13 to 16 children?
Yes, I had one family over in the Covington, it's the Keystone area, that had 23.
All one,
one
wife?
Mother. One mother.
Oh my heavens.
And the
Wasn't
one
she?
Family up here that had 13 and one had 14 when I came, or at least one or two of the babies were born after I came. And
this is a tremendous amount of work and drain on the women then, wasn't it?
It's a big, big job.
Yes. Did the women live as long as the men?
I think most of the women seem to have lived longer than the men because we've got more widows up here now of my age than we have men. Widows.
If I had 23 children, I assure you, I would have gone with the last one.
One that has had 13 children is still living, and she's much older than I am, and is really marvelous, just wonderful. She goes all over the country visiting children, because some of them have gone to Florida, and some have gone to North Carolina, some have gone to Ohio, and she goes out and visits each one of them.
Isn't this
they come and get her and take her home with them and bring her back. And
yeah. Imagine what the size of the dining room table would have to be like to seat all those children.
It was wonderful.
Or did they do it in shifts?
Well, I'm sure they would have had to have done it in shifts.
Yeah.
You hardly have a room big enough for that much.
No, you'd be throwing a party every night.
I'm sure they had to do it in groups.
Yes. And you say they raised chickens, too.
They raised chickens and turkeys.
Uh-huh. That helped. Mm. Yeah.
I don't think we said chickens and turkeys
all the time. No, in the beginning. Did they do their own smoking of the hogs?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones that smoked and most of them eat it fresh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even today, most of them like fresh meat rather than the smoked.
They do. Mm-hmm. Have to eat awful fast, though. before it goes bad. They didn't have freezers in those days.
No, but they had the very tightly sealed, well, I'd call it a pantry, but they call it a building.
Yes.
In a building.
Mm-hmm. Did they eat much beef?
Very little.
That's what it seems to me.
When I first came in,
mm-hmm.
They do now.
Yes.
But then not at first. They eat, as a rule, hog meat or fish.
Or fish, of course.
And birds. Chicken.
Turkeys.
Turkeys.
Yes. Did any of the people use any of the mountain land for pasture?
There isn't much flat land up here. Most of it is rolling up and down. But of course they had little areas where they used it for pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And there are small fields
mm-hmm.
where they used it for pasture.
So then that would be just for the cows,
mm-hmm.
or horses if they had one, or did they use mules?
No, they used horses and mules.
Both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is your, I know what the answer's going to be, what is your most vivid recollection of the people when you first came?
I came to visit the Rock House first. I had seen pictures of it, the work that was being carried on here. When I was in training in New York, one of the workers came up and talked about it. And I just immediately wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried my best to get here, but someone was already at Rock House, and when the worker left, I asked for the privilege of coming. And the bishop thought that being on crutches, I couldn't do it. But I begged him to at least let me try. And that where I couldn't walk up frontwards, I could back up backwards. And so he said, well, I'll let you stay until the snow comes. But when the bad weather comes, you may have to leave. Well, the snow came, and it came in 19-inch snow. And he came for confirmation on that same Sunday. And I thought, oh dear, here I go. But after the service, the boys had carried me from the Rock House over to the church in a rocking chair. Because I didn't have a rolling chair at that time. I didn't have a wheelchair. I used my crutches entirely. But they carried me over in a chair and brought me home. And when he came, the bishop came in, I thought, oh dear, I know what he's going to say now. And when he did, he said, I want to talk to you. Well, there were several people that had come over with us, and I didn't want them to be there when he said it, because
yes.
I knew I was going to cry. And I said, well, let's go in the study. And he said, no, what I have to say to you, I can say right here. That didn't help a bit, because I still was scared.
Yes.
And finally he said, I just want to tell you that if the people love you like they do, I wouldn't move you for anything in the world. And I drew one good deep breath.
Oh.
And I just thanked the Lord.
Yes.
And then I stayed there for 23 years.
But now, your first recollection, when you first got here,
I thought it was the most gorgeous spot in the whole world. As
did
I
the
say,
people?
I thought it was the most, it was as near heaven as
yes.
I could get and stay down here on earth.
Right. But did the people seem to you, coming from New York, ill-dressed or poorly dressed? Or
I knew their circumstances before I came in.
Yes.
And I love people. I don't look at clothes.
Oh, no, I don't believe that one bit.
I love people. So I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm. The appearances.
The appearances. They did the best they could do, and that was all that was necessary.
So that is your most vivid recollection, mm-hmm. that they were wonderful people.
They're just wonderful people.
And it stood out even though you didn't know them by name? That they were wonderful?
I don't know their name, but just to look at them, you know that they're grand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so they had dulcimers. Did they have any dances?
Yes, they square danced. They had square dances. They didn't do the regular formal dances, but they did square dances.
Did they do that in the homes, or?
Well, we had a building that was built for a community hall, and they did square dancing there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they danced a little in their homes. Their homes weren't too big, you know.
No.
But they would dance.
Speaking of the homes, about how many rooms were in a home?
Well, it depends on the size of the family, of course, but two rooms and a lean-to kitchen, or maybe three rooms, depending on size of family as to how big a home would be.
So they sort of doubled up when they went to bed.
They were quite a lot of doublings.
Yes.
But now, as you have seen them coming up to community, you know the size houses now, and improvements and the...
Right.
That when I first came, there was only one painted house in the community.
Yeah.
And that belonged to the postmaster and man that ran the rural route. But
he had a regular job, he could afford it.
Little by little, the people have painted, they've added, put in inside bathrooms, and they've added rooms to their homes. Papered their walls, and they have painted their walls, and they have
handmade furniture mainly in the beginning?
Yes, chairs and stools and tables were made by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume even beds originally.
Sure. I imagine they were. Mm-hmm. They were just as comfortable.
I think maybe more comfortable than some.
Yes. Well, can you think of anything more that will help us with this? You've told us so much. Were there any jealousies between groups that lived in one area and groups in another?
Well, most of the people that lived in communities, or hollows as they were called in those days, but we call them communities now, pretty much lived among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there was a great deal of intermarriage among themselves, but we had very little physical or mental or eye strain or any of that difficulties because of those intermarriages.
Yeah.
Of course, there was the differences of families, of Weekers and Grays and Pettits and Jenkins and Burgess enough for it to make a good mixture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that we didn't get too close kin relationships.
So really, the people in one hollow didn't visit over
very rarely
into another.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
The people from here to Tanner's Ridge probably visited more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was due to the ministers coming here for service would ask some of the men to walk up with him up through the mountain up to Tanner's Ridge. And I'm sure that's how that developed.
Right, yes.
But other than that, they rarely visited from hollow to hollow or community to community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is great.
I think it's wonderful.
Mind starting again at the beginning then?
Okay.
You said at first what?
At first there was a great deal of drinking, moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
But that has, I believe, completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've had anything of that kind for years.
No.
At Christmas, it was quite a celebration and moonshine and shooting, but rarely anything happened as far as and about getting hurt.
No.
Just the hilarity of it.
Yeah.
But now it really is a completely different atmosphere to Christmas.
You said they still shoot off fireworks at Christmas?
But they still shoot off fireworks at Christmas. And I never can get used to it. So when I hear it, I get alarmed. And then I think, this is just fireworks. But occasionally they still shoot off fireworks.
Were the women, you say that they had quilting parties and sewing bees. Mm-hmm. Were they apparently were pretty handy.
They had wonderful craft ideas and capacity for making things. Well, of course, they had to make things out of nothing.
Yes.
And so they hooked rugs, they wove baskets, handmade stools and chairs and furniture and things of that kind. A lot of the men whittled and made toys out of whittling, whistles and dolls and things for the children to play with.
Mm-hmm.
That was the extent of what they had in the early days.
Then after the mission they continued came, the...
Yes, they still do quilting and making of patchwork quilts and things of that kind. And they do... I don't believe there are many now that do much of the weaving or the stools, the making of the splints and things, but there are one or two who still do now. I don't believe anybody hooks rugs now that I know of in the community. We did have a lady across the road from me that hooked rugs, and she does quilts and things of that kind still, but does great deal of handwork that is sold up on the Skyline Drive at the concessions.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they order hundreds of her mops that she makes that are in the form of a doll's head. They order sometimes several hundred of those at a time.
And those were the dolls that the children used to play with, aren't they?
No, these are made out of a mop. These are made out of a mop.
Well, didn't they used to dried apples or things of that kind?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, they did all the drying things to eat.
Yes.
Pears and apples and...
Yeah. Well, didn't they make straw dolls too?
Shuck dolls out of the corn shucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
These people here haven't kept up the shuck dolls. There are communities in which they still make the shuck dolls, but not here.
Yeah. You were mentioning while we were not on the tape about Christmas presents.
Well, in their homes, they bake things at Christmas for people, and they made things like that, home things that they could give one another. But they didn't have what we call Christmas presents.
Mm-hmm.
So when the mission was established, they began to give gifts to each family. And
where would you get the money to do this?
Well, through various friends outside, I would speak at churches and tell them of the need for Christmas gifts and money for Christmas gifts. And I wanted especially to have money sometimes rather than gifts, because sometimes they would send gifts that weren't appropriate, and I wanted to be able to get certain things. So they began to give me money in order that I could buy. And the H&H store in town would, Mr. Howell would let me go downstairs before the store was open for Christmas and buy everything I wanted for Christmas, for my Christmas tree. And then we made bags out of cloth, green and red bags. And each family, I had a book with every member of the family listed in it. And we had one room upstairs, it was a big bedroom, and we cleared it out and put up tables and spread out all the gifts in different groupings all around. Then I would take the book and we'd go around and select the gift for everybody in the family, wrap it up with stickers and ribbons and everything, just everything. And they put them in these bags and then label the bag with the family name, the father's name, and deliver them on Christmas Day. Pauline, the young woman that lived with me, would dress up as Santa Claus and sit on the hood of the car, and one of the young men would drive me, and we would go up the highway and deliver at every house and ring the bells. Santa Claus would sit and jingle his bells on the hood, and we would deliver the Christmas bags to every family in the community.
And none of them felt as though this was charity, did they?
Because
they hated charity.
It wasn't charity.
No,
this was just genuine love, and they knew it.
Right, right, because they were proud people.
They are wonderful, proud people. They're grand people. No, this was not charity. This was genuine love, and they knew it. But they would look forward to it from year to year, and everybody would get a gift. From great-grandmother to the tiniest newborn baby had gifts. And those gifts were provided by friends outside, from churches and from individual people. And many of them, as I say, gave me money in order that if I didn't get enough teenage gifts, or if I didn't get men's gifts, or if I didn't get something special that I needed, I could go out and buy the things that I needed. But it was, Christmas was a gorgeous time.
You must have started preparing for that.
Unfortunately, most of the churches didn't send gifts until the last, from 3 weeks to Christmas. So we had to sometimes work all night long into the nights, sleep a few hours and get up and do our daily work, and then stay up until 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, wrapping gifts and getting them ready. But it was well worth it when you saw the joy that they brought.
Yes.
And we did it the last year that I was at the mission house. We had then acquired not only this community, but the Basin Hollow and the Covered Hollow and the Keystone area. And by that time, the last number that we wrapped was 1,047 people's gifts. Now each person received not only just one thing, but the women, for instance, would always, I tried to get enough aprons so everybody had an apron, but also everybody had a pretty handkerchief and a bowl or a dish or some kitchen utensil or something that was for the home, that they could use in the home. The men, unfortunately, weren't so lucky, because they came out with socks or handkerchiefs or ties or something of that nature. But the children, we made a real effort to give them something to wear, hoods or knitted hood or sweaters or socks or mittens or something that they could wear, plus a coloring book and crayons, or a reading book and toys and things of that kind. But every person in the community had gifts, and they were all wrapped up with ribbons and stickers, and we licked those stickers.
There wasn't any
scotch tape in those days.
Oh.
But we wrapped everything, and everything was as pretty as it would have been for anybody's home. And of course, the Rockettes helped me tremendously with giving me their Christmas wrappings and ribbons and bows and things from year to year. For years and years, they brought, sent that to me. And they sent me many gifts and sent me much money in order to buy what I wanted. But I've had a wonderful time. I've had a gorgeous time. No wonder I wanted to come back here to live.